roughly 24 to 92 hours ago, STAB's team of comedy scientists commissioned four specific humorists to give various potentially comedic takes on several random topics, which they'll now perform for the first and likely last time in front of a live studio audience in a show called STAB.
Welcome to STAB. Are you guys ready to meet your contestants for STAB? Ladies and gentlemen, please welcome to stage Jesse Jones, Steve Ferris, and the illustrious Aaron Weaver. Illustrious Aaron Weaver. Welcome, gentlemen. Welcome. Welcome to STAB. My name is John Ross. I'm the host of STAB. Thank you guys for coming out on such late notice. I appreciate it. You guys wanna play STAB?
Yeah.
Okay, good. Here we go. Let's play it. This first segment is called Celebration Time. Each of you gentlemen were given certain dates that happen, well, sort of roughly around this time, this date. We're going to ask you how you celebrated it. Mr. Weaver, we're going to start with you. Is that okay that I call you Mr. Weaver?
That's good with me.
Okay. Mr. Weaver, on this sometime around this date in 1605, some guy in Great Britain named Guy Fawkes plotted to blow up and assassinate the Protestant King James I of England and replace him with a Catholic head of state. The attempt failed. Anyways, now he has a knight named after him called Guy Fawkes Knight. F-A-W-K-E-S Knight. It's kind of, okay. Also on this day, 1943, Percy Hobson, the famed Australian high jumper, was born. How did you get along with this day?
Okay, how did I get along with this day? I could have been better. I'm not a big fan of Australians that are good at jumping. I think that's mostly because I fell into the kangaroo exhibit at the zoo one time. And kangaroos are Australians that are really good at jumping. And
that's true.
Yeah. I figure Percy Hobson's basically the closest human to a kangaroo, you know. And I imagine if I ever met him, he'd probably try to stuff me in his pouch, too. So it could be better, you know. Guy Fawkes Day is very near to my heart, though. I like to spend the first half of this day with some lighthearted fun. I like to add a word to the end of his name and say it in a Russian accent. Guy Fawkes Donkey. Guy Fawkes Mother. Guy Fawkes Knight. Yeah, it's perfect. The Wachowski brothers, who made The Matrix, I don't know if they also made a movie called V for Vendetta, which is actually inspired by Guy Fawkes. What they don't show in the movie is that Guy was caught before he could kill the king, and he was tortured. Some believe he was tortured by this thing called the rack. That's the one where they spread you out. You know, they stretch you out real. This like sounds shitty. But to honor his suffering, I like to spend the second half of this day at Nordstrom Rack and experience my own form of torture. Instead of limbs, time is stretched out, and I'm pitching it to the Wachowski brothers. It'll be called P is for Please Stop Playing Songs by The Fray. It's been 8 years. They haven't gotten back to me, so that's how I do it.
Aaron
Thank
Weaver.
You guys.
That's how you do it. By the way, guys, I was thinking of one of these shows we should all do super drunk. I think that's going to happen. Maybe a best of. We'll just, yeah, that way we don't have to write anything new. And we'll just, okay. We're going to move along to Steve Ferris. How are you, Steve?
I'm good. How are you, John?
I am well. I am well. Mr. Ferris, on December 14th, on December 14th, the state of Alabama celebrates Alabama Day. Also on that same date, Monkey Day takes place. How about that? What would you do if it were actually December 14th today?
Well, if today were December 14th, I might not be here.
Okay.
Instead, I might be at home recording the What Do You Guys Want to Do podcast. with my buddy, Sammy Obeid. I would ask him and the other guests on the show what they want to do, and hopefully they would tell me. I always hope. That's a strength just as much as a flaw, fortunately and unfortunately. Chances are the guests would want to talk about Monkey Day and Alabama Day, especially now that I got this prompt. I put this part in there last time, and I was like, why did I put that? But I'll read it anyway. Okay. John Ross, you are the prompt king at your senior prompt. There we go. I would explain that we can't talk about Monkey Day and Alabama Day unless we know what they are. Monkey Day started out as a joke, but it evolved into so much more than that. It's a celebration of all primates, which is important because we should be celebrating where we came from, at least in my opinion. As for Alabama Day, which is a day to celebrate Alabama joining the Union in 1819, I question the motive behind giving me a prompt with these two holidays in it. Am I expected to play off the negative stereotypes often attributed to the people of Alabama?
No.
By suggesting all. That they are no more evolved than the monkeys whose existence we celebrate on Monkey Day? Don't you think it's kind of weird that they don't rename the state to All Obama?
I don't think so. That's not good.
Maybe that's not maybe good. Then the Democrats would win there.
Maybe.
All right.
That's it? All right, Steve Ferris. Thank you very much. Jesse Jones, bring us home early.
Wow.
I'm sorry. Okay. On this day, 1307, William Tell shoots an apple off his son's head. Also on this very date, 1978, in Jonestown, Guyana. Jim Jones led the People's Temple to mass murder-suicide that claimed 918 lives in all, 909 of them in Jonestown itself, including over 270 children. Mm-hmm. Congressman Leo Ryan is murdered by members of the People's Temple hours earlier. I just read, what did you do to Horon? These happenstances... Should be honor. I misspelled honor.
That's all right. I got the gist.
Thanks.
Well, firstly, I would like to thank everyone for joining me here this evening. It is your continued loyalty and dedication that has made this day possible. And the sacrifices we make today will be remembered as the heroic, selfless act of revolutionary protest that it is. And though I know that the thought has not been considered by anyone in attendance, it is important that I inform you, nonetheless, that you will now, of course, not be permitted to leave. You have all followed me here today, secure in the truth that I am the flesh-born, three-dimensional incarnation of the one and only true Messiah, the pre-New 52 vigilante longbow hunter, and lefty socialist champion Oliver Queen. I thought that would get... thought that might get JoJo.
Yeah, I have no... Is this a Star Wars reference?
No, okay. Not even close.
Okay, good.
Oliver Queen. That's... yes.
Still.
It doesn't matter.
I'm dumb.
We have ridden the current rising tide of archery-based pop culture figures from the Marvel heretic Hawkeye to the false prophet Katniss. And that one from Brave, I still haven't seen that one, but I know. She was an archer too, I think. I have always shot true and sure with you. Each a valued shaft in my loved quiver, my beloved quiver of love. I just noticed I repeated love twice. And while you may have questioned my need to regularly sleep with your wives, daughters, and select effeminate sons, I know that you understand Ollie works in mysterious ways. I do apologize that our meeting tonight is keeping us all from our televised sermon from the book of the CW. Wednesdays, 8 p.m. Eastern, 9 Pacific. 7 Central. But we do so secure in the knowledge that it is being saved for us to be viewed upon our transferal from this three-dimensional plane of existence to the two-dimensional other world to which we are traveling. Hulu be praised.
Jesus Christ. You're hurting my ears, Georgia.
As the end of the show nears, I'm going to ask that you put your trust in me one more time as my sidekicks begin passing around the drinks. They are a delicious concoction of my own devising that are one part kiwi lime Kool-Aid, one part Portuguese wormwood absinthe, and one part Valvoline Zyrex engine coolant, which I lovingly call Green Arrows. Because they'll always hit the spot, and because one shot will surely kill you. We'll be drinking in order of youngest to oldest, skipping me, of course, just so I can make sure everyone gets their fill. Be sure to tip it all the way back, and I will rejoin you all as we turn past this false page and are rejoined in the great square-bound trade paperback on the other side of reality.
Thank you, Jesse Jones.
It's on nights like these that I write specifically for JoJo.
JoJo? Yeah, I just knew you'd be here. We're still playing Stab. Whew. This next segment's called Reorganization. Take these existing acronyms and reimagine them. What does the new acronym stand for? What and or who does it now represent? Aaron Weaver, you've been given DUI. DUI.
DUI. This stands for Dangerous Uncle Inquisition. We all have at least one untamed uncle, you know. He's the dangerous one. He's the wild one. He's the one that tells our nieces and nephews to make slingshots, to say words like ain't and dang, and he will encourage them to become painters, DJs, and comedians. He's dangerous to the American values of the family. In 1997, the community of Naperville, Illinois, hit their breaking point. After spending the day with her wild Uncle Marty, 11-year-old Brittany McHale came home to a copper peace sign pierced through the center of her left nostril. The community was devastated. A tribunal of soccer moms and golf dads was set up to uphold suburban orthodoxy and make sure this never happened again. Suspected dangerous uncles were all rounded up from every dive bar, bowling alley, and automobile shop in the area. Each one was given a can of beer. Any uncle that simply drank the beer was considered safe. Any uncle that did anything extra, such as shotgunning the beer, putting a lime in it, or poking an extra air hole for improved flow, was considered dangerous. 12 uncles were burned at the stake that day. That will forever be the day remembered as DUI. Dangerous Uncle Inquisition.
Good job. Thank you, Mr. Weaver. Steve Ferris, the acronym you were given is SWF. SWF.
All right. Normally that stands for single white female, and I changed it.
Thank you.
To simple white frog. So I left the white. Is that against the rules to leave one word?
No.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine.
It's a Japanese tea house named after a majestic origami frog made from rice paper. Guests are served matcha green tea by an attendant in a kimono, and each cup comes with a specially folded simple white frog. It has been said that if you kiss the frog, it turns into a prince, but what actually happens is that if you drink some of the tea and then kiss the frog, it gets prints of your lips on it. So people just got mixed up one time when someone said something about the lip prints, you know, and somebody else, you know, knew about the story of the frog prints. So, you know, I wonder what would happen if a simple white frog got kissed by the white swan from Swan Lake. Then the frog might turn black like the black swan and become an SBF, simple black frog. SBF, that sounds a lot like SPF this in sunscreen. You know, sometimes if you leave something white in the sun without sunscreen, it turns black. So, even though SBF sounds a lot like SPF, it obviously must not be if the SWF turned into the SBF.
All right. Can you read that again, Stephen? I think we missed it. No, I'm kidding. It was great. Jesse Jones, the acronym you were given was M&M. Mm-hmm. M, ampersand, M.
Yes.
Go for it.
Well, I'm so glad you asked what M&M is now. You see, M&M is actually the hip tween shorthand slang that we at Millennial Productions expect will soon be attached to hashtags and Twittered Instagrams as part of our viral, synergistic, social media integrated awareness campaign for the new live-action series I'm pitching to ABC Family titled Mutts and Magic. Jaspin Puggins was just a normal puppy going to normal puppy school when, after being pushed into his own water dish by school bully Wyler Rotten, Jasmine's classmates discover a swirl-shaped bald spot under one of his jowls, the sign of the wizard pup. From there, Jasmine is swept into the mystical world of warlock dogs, bitch witches, and even, legend has it, the unlimited power of the source bone. Think Harry Potter meets the Puppy Bowl, and you have M&M, Mutts and Magic. Hashtag abracabarkbra. Follow at Mutts and Magic for your chance to win a walk-on role in a season one episode and to pet one of the six dogs that plays Jaspin. ABC Family, next fall. Every dog has its day, and this one is magic. Hashtag.
All right. That was Reorganization. This is Stab. This next segment is called Write a Poem About It. Everyone, you are given subjects to write poems about. Aaron Weaver, Steve Ferris, and Jesse Jones, you were all given poems to write. Aaron, the poem you were given to write was in regards to the first lady president's husband, the first man.
First man.
Let's hear it.
All right. It's kind of a dark one. First man by the first man. A million hands shaking, shaking. I'm shaking. Show your teeth when you smile. Start a charity for battered men. Sit, stay, put on my makeup. The latest doll in a big white house. I am the first man.
Thank you. Stephen Ferris, thank you, Aaron Weaver. Stephen Ferris, thank you in advance.
You're welcome.
Please have written a poem about being attacked by a bowl. A bowl. You, all right, really quick, everyone. We're parting shows together right now. Usually we have the poems in some sort of themed order, but being that we're parting it, none of these make sense at all. From the one you were in previously, Steve, someone was the the poem was being attacked by a bull, being attacked by a bowl, and then being attacked by bull from Night Court from a previous episode. So this is... Just shut up. Okay, just go ahead and do it. Not you. Don't shut up. I'm talking
to
myself.
And those ones were supposed to be erotic, too, which I just wanted to say.
That's right. Write an erotic poem about being attacked by a bowl.
Right. I just wanted to say that first so people don't think I'm some kind of pervert or something like that. You know? All right. All right. They say smoke gets in your eyes, but this bull smoke creating highs got in my one eye trouser snake. The more my friends all bake, the more they want to smoke my pole. But only dreams of a hot box in my soul. Oops, I said hot box, not what I meant. The smoke from the bowl got me bent. I don't want this, but I can't stop it. Floor all wet, use my head to mop it.
Thank you, Steve. Thank you, Steve.
Right?
That was erotic. Jesse Jones, police have written a poem about superheroes poop. Superheroes pooping.
Yeah, pull up a chair, JoJo. Hopefully. Using the night to aid in his fight, Gothamites all feared the bat. But come break of day, as they went on their way, they often would slip in his scat. Thanks to Lex Luthor, Clark's bowels were much looser because of his most evil plan. Lex shaved down some kryptonite, and just when the mix was right, fed him some post-super bran. With one spider bite, Peter didn't feel right. Something was wrong, but he didn't know what. Put it out of his mind, he thought he was fine until spider silk shot out his butt. Hulk eat all guns, save bus full of nuns. Hulk is full as Hulk get. But Hulk, not good planner, changed too soon to Bruce Banner and exploded in a shower of shit.
Wonderful. I was writing a poem about it. This next segment is called the Topical Haiku Challenge. Gentlemen, the topic you were given was the NFL team, the Washington Redskins, are suing five specific Native Americans for being offended at the team's name. Haiku now.
I did three. What?
You did three, great.
Are we supposed to
you were supposed to do three.
Do I read all three or just...
Just one at a time.
Just one
at a time.
Yeah,
we'll cycle.
All right. Haiku. Steal our casinos. Now you want the white man's team? What do we have left?
Thank you. Haiku clap would be how. The same as a golf clap. See Ferris.
Okay. I think they should just change from Redskins to Pigskins. That would make more sense.
Thanks, Stephen.
Now, not to work on a defense already of my haiku, but we did this one in another show.
I think so.
So these are haikus 4, 5, and 6 on the Redskins having to change their name for me.
I think so.
So
that's my
just
my
no fault. Diminishing returns. I already did three of these. The first one is titled Field of Tears. Of all tragedies heaped upon Native people, this year's team is worst.
Aaron Weaver, please.
All right.
Yeah.
Public defender, a team of Jewish lawyers, smoke signals.
Ready?
Yes, Steve. Go ahead.
Washington Pigskins. Yes, I like the sound of that. Why don't they do it?
Jesse, second of three.
This one is titled Taking Thanks. In the spirit of the upcoming Thanksgiving, just shut up and cook.
Aaron Weaver, be the first of three to bring us home.
All right. An autumn day, a football deflated, Indian in the courtroom. Instead of the cupboard, you know? Okay.
Redskins versus Redskins. Let's settle this on the field. Offended offense.
Okay. Steve Ferris.
My third is titled, My Name's Big Chief Paul, and This Is Between Y'all. Kansas City fans, just sit quietly and hope no one notices.
That was the Topical Hiker Challenge. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the last segment of this specific first show. This next segment is called Movie Makeup. Here are some movie titles we made up. Actually, Jesse, you already kind of did a movie makeup, I think, with...
Well, yeah.
Yeah, okay, with your acronym. Here are some movie titles we made up. Please give a synopsis based off the provided titles that you were given. Aaron Weaver, you were given Back in the Dump Truck. Steve Ferris, you were given Penemies. Pen Enemies. Penemies. And Jesse Jones, you were given Quimmy Quam Quammers and the Quammy Fams. Well, Quammy Pams. Quammy Pams. Quimmy Quam Quammers and the Quammy Pams. Aaron Weaver. Aaron Weaver, the name of yours was Back in the Dump Truck.
Oh, Back in the Dump Truck. This is a documentary about the career arc of Nicolas Cage. Before becoming an actor, Nicolas began his career driving a dump truck. His daddy drove a dump truck, his granddaddy drove a dump truck, and his great daddy drove a dump horse. In perhaps his most suspenseful movie ever, this is the compelling true story of how Nicolas Cage almost dodged destiny and made a career for himself in Hollywood. But following the slew of misses, including Rage, Trespass, and Outcast, Nicolas Cage is forced to go back into the family business of taking materials of all kinds, putting them in trucks, and dumping them in other places. Peter Travers of the Rolling Stone says, "He poured the gravel on my driveway like a tour de force." Back in the dump truck.
Thank you, Aaron. Thank you for coming all the way from Grass Valley for this. I appreciate it. For this. Thank you guys. Thank you for being here. Steve Ferris, the name of your movie was called Pen Enemies. Penemies.
Okay. It's the prequel to the hit films Penemy of the State and Penemy at the Gate. Is it plural? Is that one?
Yeah.
Yeah, okay.
So like.
All right. A young girl's journey to find a new friend after her parents' work forced the family to move across the country. When Jenny's mother signs her up for a pen pal service, things seem innocent enough at first. But when Jenny's new friend Brooke from sunny California turns out to be a really dangerous imposter, Jenny must decide whether to turn to her parents for guidance or keep it a secret and use her pen to go after her mysterious penemy with everything she's got. And this cat and mouse paper chase. It's a high-stakes game of who can write the fastest and manipulate the U.S. Postal Service most effectively. Who will fill whose box first? I was thinking maybe like Jenny figures out that if she writes enough letters, her penemy's mailbox will fill up and he or she won't be able to pay his or her bills, giving Jenny an advantage since she's too young to have to pay bills yet. And then I also thought it kind of raised the question like, you know, people say that the pen is mightier than the sword, you know, so they thought that was interesting because they're penemies. But then, like, is the pen mightier than the S word? Because it looks a lot like sword, but it has a dash in it. Shit.
That's shit. All
right. So that's the whole thing. All right.
All right, Steve. Thank you. Thank you, sir. Jesse Jones, the name of the movie you were given. Quimmy Quam Quammers and the Quammy Pams.
Yeah. So, yeah, since I did end up doing sort of a movie earlier, this wound up being...
An acronym?
Yes.
just so you know, prompts were given
about 22 hours
22
ago.
22 hours ago? Yeah, 22 hours ago.
So this one actually is a new series, new television series coming to America. Oh. It's NBC's remake of the popular graphic BBC Two coming-of-age dramedy, Quimmy Quam Quammers and the Quammy Pams, will be debuting as a mid-season replacement in January. And will be known in the States as the Girl Chasers. Now, while the actual translation of the Cockney slang-titled show would have roughly equated in America to pussy-scented pussy hounds who want to fuck pussy and the cunt dykes, NBC executives decided to tone down some of the darker and more risque topics the series was known for to be able to package it to American sitcom audiences, despite it being the entire reason for its popularity and for NBC acquiring the show's rights in the first place. Other notable tweaks in the show's content and tone include changing the names of the two main characters from Shit Brixton and Twat Cumbubble. To Gary Tunderson and Dale Parks. It is also unlikely that the pair's famous catchphrase, "Knob slobbin' cunts,"
Jesus Christ,
will make the translation intact either. With some network executives hinting it'll likely be replaced with a popular test audience favorite, "Friendship High Five." Four QP fan sites were also outraged upon hearing that the original series one ending shocker that saw Shit Brixton's girlfriend, who he only ever refers to in the show as Jizrag. Oh, so at the end of season one, she passes out from a heroin overdose, only to choke to death on shit and twat's semen. After they jerk each other off into her passed out mouth.
Oh, boy.
They'll likely be replacing that twist with the sort of will they or won't they dynamic between Gary and the sharp tongued used bookstore clerk, Pam Quammy, in a nod to the original series.
Thank you. That was movie makeup. And, this episode of Stab is over. Ladies and gentlemen, one more time, Aaron Weaver, Steve Ferris, Jesse Jones. Aaron, do you have a Twitter or anything you would like us to follow? of yours?
Yeah.
Okay. What would that be?
It's Aaron Weaver for all you Twitter fans. Four A's, Ron Weaver.
Ron.
Yeah. I'm Canadian, so.
Oh, okay. A-E-H-E-H. All right.
Yes, thank you.
Steve Ferris, tell us about what you want to.
Okay, I have a Twitter. It's what do you, the letter U.
Okay.
Wanna, that's, you know, wanna with two N's, do.
Okay.
I have whatdoyouguyswantodo.com. Hosting the What Do You Guys Want to Do podcast.
You mentioned that. Okay.
iTunes. And I also have the What Do You Guys Want to Do YouTube channel, but somebody already took that, so I just have WDYGWD.
Okay.
And, Apple Tree Comedy Competition this Saturday. And
it's where comedians go on stage, and then there's three judges with apples in their mouths.
Yeah, and we're doing a cross promotion this month with Ali Yada, who I guess is a great cook, and she's making all this special stuff with apples.
The ones that spit out of your mouth, or
is it right.
The ones from the show?
Huh?
Are they the apples from the show that fall out of their? Never mind.
Oh.
All right, that sounds fun. Sounds fun. All right, cool.
Blast.
Jesse Jones. You have anything?
This is pretty much all I do.
Okay. You can catch him on every stab ever. Forever. Thank you guys for coming to Stab. Yes. Thank you guys.